we begin, beloved, I want you to take a moment and think about some of your own missteps. Some of the things in your life that you've done that you should not have done. Some of the things maybe that you look back on with a tinge of shame and regret that you handled that situation that way. That you spoke that word to that person that way. Any other number of things, sins, missteps, confusions in our lives. Maybe we don't often dwell on these. In fact, it's uncomfortable to do so. Thinking about these things tends to be uncomfortable, and maybe we shy away from it. This text that we're going to look at today seems to me full of it, full of missteps and problems in the life of the Apostle Paul that if you just read through, you think, okay, he's moving on his missionary journey, and off he goes to Macedonia. But along the way here are some problems that the Apostle Paul has to deal with, and I'm sure looked back on with some shame. We kind of think of the Apostle Paul, he's the Apostle Paul after all. It's just marching forward in victory, right? Every step's a step forward, but that's not how it goes with Paul. Paul has long periods of struggle in his life and ministry, and we run into one of those now. And right on the end, it turns out, of a great celebration, right? From the Council of Jerusalem, which is so wonderful, and taking that message back, and salvation free and full to sinners, both Jew and Gentile, and the churches are encouraged, and then, whammo, a problem. A problem in Paul's life, brought about by Paul, and brought about by his own attitude. So remember, as we're talking about the Apostle Paul, we're talking about a man. We're talking about a man. A man who struggles with sin, just like you do, Christian. We're not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who might struggle with temptation, but always had victory. Maintained perfect holiness. Paul's not that man. Paul needs Christ to save Paul. And not just Paul because he used to chase around Christians with pointy sticks and stick them in jail and get them killed. That too. But Paul, as an apostle, Paul, as a Christian, needs a Savior. And Christian, you sitting there, so do you. And preacher standing here, so do I. We need a Savior from beginning to end, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. May God be glorified. God meets us in our confusion. God meets us in our mistakes. People of God, God even meets us in our sins so that we should learn to turn from them and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us from them. And God meets us also in our planning. That's kind of something in the middle here. We'll be considering this big problem that Paul makes, and then his plans, and then how they go. So that'll have three words. I tried really hard to find another P word that was like a two-bit word, like the other two. The first is the paroxysm, the explosion, the division between Paul and Barnabas. The planning of Paul, and finally, the peregrination. Now, that's a new word to me, but peregrination just means a trip wandering around by foot in particular, which is what Paul and Barnabas and are part of. What Paul and Silas and Timothy end up doing is a lot of walking around, you'll see, for hundreds and hundreds of miles, trying to seek what the Lord would have them do. So let's start with the paroxysm. Verses 36 through 41. I'll reread those since it is short. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of God and see how they are." They've been through these Galatian churches once, been through them twice, now down to Jerusalem back, and Paul says, "Hey, let's go see how they are. Let's go encourage them in the Lord." That's Paul's heart, to go see the saints. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. So remember Barnabas is a warm-hearted kind of guy anyway, a connecting, encouraging kind of guy. That's why they call him Barnabas, son of encouragement. And it looks like John Mark is a relation of his. It also looks like John Mark is a relation of Peter's. So he's kind of an important, connected guy. But Paul says, well, hang on. We had him with us before, remember? That first missionary trip, we went to Cyprus, and we went all through Cyprus, and there was a magician and all that kind of stuff. And then when they got to the mainland up north, the Phrygia, John Mark took off and went back to Jerusalem. He didn't finish the trip with them. It didn't really say anything more than that. They just continued. Paul and Barnabas continued on that missionary journey and so on. But John Mark had left. And Paul says, we're not doing that again. I'm not taking that guy with me again. He failed us last time. I don't trust him. He's going to fail us this time. Maybe he will, but I don't trust him. Right? So that's Paul's attitude toward John Mark. Turns out that Mark is almost certainly the Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Right? So we're not talking about just, you know, some wingnut out there. We're talking about a guy who obviously had some struggles in the mission work that rubbed Paul the wrong way to the point where Paul says, I'm not going with that guy again. And Barnabas might have come back and said, well, hey, listen, remember 10 years ago when no one wanted to see your face in Jerusalem? Who's the guy who stepped in and helped you out? Me. Barnabas did. Right? He's the one who stepped in and engaged Paul with these other Christians that really didn't trust him. And now Paul doesn't trust one guy that he trusts, and he can't talk Paul into backing down. Right? So it becomes this problem between them to the point where there's a sharp division. And it's not a good word. It's a sharp division. Now, what do you think about that? Maybe in the context of the church at Antioch. They have two of their leaders who are now divided. Not doctrinally. It's not like one believes in the divinity of Jesus Christ and the other one doesn't, like liberals and something in the more modern age. It's these two ministers who both love Christ, who teach the same gospel, but they can't figure out how to go on a mission trip together. They can't work together. There's a division among them. Now, how do you think that might have gone? You think they sat there and said, well, you know, Barnabas, I just don't think John Mark is the right guy for the job. And here's why. I have four reasons. Or do you think it was shouting at each other? I'm not going with that guy. He failed us before. He's going to fail us again. This is my friend. This is my relation. You can imagine this blowing up, which is the word. It's a sharp division that occurs between two Christian leaders within the Christian church. That's not good. That's bad. Right? So this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Barnabas, no less. And remember, they're long-time friends, long-time working together. But here this thing comes up, and they cannot see a way ahead. It's a division in the church. As I've mentioned before, Paul probably looked back on this, as did Barnabas, with shame. They probably looked back and thought, oh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I should have said this. I should have handled it this way. Right? Looking back from our vantage point, we could probably figure out a scenario where they could make this thing work. But in the heat of that situation, they couldn't see it. They couldn't figure it out. And they divided one from another, probably with plenty of unsavory words said in unsavory ways. We tend to think of someone like Paul as just kind of put him on the holy pedestal. Sometimes, maybe. Sometimes he's walking with the Lord and in the Spirit, and he's awesome. Obviously, he's very gifted, and God's using him. But he's a man. He's a sinner, just like you and just like me. So how about us? Have you ever fell into a row with a neighbor? Have you ever exchanged cross words or said something to your wife or your husband that you wish immediately you could take back? You know it wasn't the right thing to say, and you're full of anger. You ever get just intensely angry at your kids and want to just crush them, throw them out the window? Like every day? Right? But that's part of the struggle of being a Christian is dealing with this sin. We use words and they hurt people, and we can't take them back. And we wish that we could. We wish that we could unhurt the people we've hurt, but we can't do it. I'm sure Paul wished he could undivide the division that he had with Barnabas and probably the division that occurred in the church at Antioch because of it. That's the kind of place that the thing like that will happen. I'm with Paul. I'm with Barnabas. Oh, yeah. That kind of stuff. Oh, I wish I could go back and take it all back and not do it. But, of course, you can't. You ever lose your temper and mistreat those around you, especially the people you love? Does it bother you? Is it heavy on your heart? It should be. But listen to this. Jesus Christ came to save sinners like you. Foul-mouthed, angry sinners like you. Unloving, angry sinners like me. That's what Christ came to save. And so there's forgiveness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have good company. You're in good company. The Apostle Paul needed a Savior just like I do. Just like you do. Because we're vile, wicked people. God's working on us. We're growing in Christ, but it's not over. We're dealing with the old man. We're dealing with our wickedness. And it is wickedness. And we're full of it. Now, if we deny that and say, oh, no, that's no big deal, then we're really denying the necessity, the basis of the gospel. Jesus Christ came because we couldn't save ourselves and we're wicked. And he makes us over after his image. Praise be to his name. People, rest in the gospel. Rest in Jesus Christ. And then be led by the Spirit. And we'll talk more about this. To be more like him. To get rid of that old man and those old words and those old ways of relating to people. And put on the new man. Relate better. Be a better husband. Set goals. Even right now. If you say, yeah, okay, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. I got a list of 18 things right now. Or maybe I just got a list of two that just hang on me. All right, good. Think about those things. And think about what God would have you change to move forward from these things. You can't go back and fix what's been done. But you can, in Christ and by the power of the Spirit, move forward and build relationships. So if you need to do that with your wife, do it. Write it down and do it. If you need to do that with your husband or your neighbor or your co-worker or your boss or your children or your parents, all these relationships can struggle in the same way that Paul, with his close relationship with Barnabas in ministry, had an explosion, had problems. We have those. So people of God, rest in Christ. Rest in His forgiveness and get busy by His Spirit to fix and grow from the places where we need to grow and be fixed. So they move on. Barnabas takes John Mark with him, sails back off to Cyprus, which is where they went on the first missionary trip, and we don't hear about Barnabas again. He's gone. He's gone from the book of Acts. We don't hear him. We do hear of John Mark later on, not in the book of Acts, but in Timothy, where Paul says he's useful for ministry to him, send him to me, right? So at least they were reconciled. Paul was reconciled to John Mark, at least later on in his ministry, but not at this point. He's not working with that guy. So he takes Silas, and they make a move. It says in verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And I'm not sure exactly if that's the same thing as being sent. We talked about, especially last week, being sent back and forth to Jerusalem and the council. But on the first missionary journey, the church gathered around Paul and Barnabas and sent them, being sent by the Holy Spirit, remember, by being commissioned by the church. But we have them commending them to the grace of God, and they're going to need it. As we go forward and look at these, you know, we think of this as like a line on a map. But this is travel. And even in cars, you can get weary traveling in an automobile. I had to drive 12 hours today. I'm exhausted. Yeah, well, it's kind of exhausting. Do it by foot. And do it over the mountains. And do it in the ancient world with all the problems that come with travel. And say, okay, what's the whole... Yeah, it's just a lot to deal with. There are many hundreds of miles that are being traveled here. More on that later. But they're going around and they're showing what had been handed down by the church in Jerusalem and encouraging all the churches. And the churches are growing. So there's wonderful ministry going on around Paul and Silas as they go. And then they pick up Timothy. And they get up into the churches where they were visiting, where they'd been before. And there's this guy, Timothy, that stands out. And Paul says, I want to take him with me. He needs to come with me on my missionary trip. What's the problem? The problem is the ministry. Who are they going to minister to? If they were ministering to a bunch of Gentiles straight away, who cares? No big deal. But Paul knows they're going to be ministering to Jews. And the Jews in that area know that he has a Greek father. He's got a Jewish mother. He's half Jewish. That's the better half. But still, he's uncircumcised and would therefore not even count as being a Jew or part of the people of God. He would be viewed as a God-fearer or a Gentile. And Paul wants him to be on the inside. He wants him to be able to have that ministry. And so Paul takes him and circumcises him himself. Now, this is on the tail end of the Jerusalem Council, where people are coming down saying, hey, you got to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul says, no way! Huge division on that. They take it up to Jerusalem and come back. Paul goes on the way and circumcises Timothy when he finds him. That ought to show you something about Paul. Right? And it's the first thing is the issue of circumcision to begin with that gets the whole Jerusalem Council going in the first place is the men saying you got to be circumcised to be saved. There's something you got to have other than Jesus Christ to be saved. And that's circumcision. And Paul says, no way. It doesn't work that way. Gentiles will come in through Christ in the salvation, just as the circumcision will come in through Christ in the salvation. It's a salvation issue. And it boils into justification and the other doctrine that Paul clearly brought forward in the book of Galatians, as we looked at that. But is that what's going on with Timothy? Is Timothy getting saved there with the scalpel? No. Timothy's looking forward to ministry. Ministry to people that this matters to. And so, therefore, Paul, right away, he himself will circumcise Timothy right after this whole hubbub about circumcision. So people look at that and say, well, Paul's just inconsistent. They say, well, no, you're just a bad reader. You just don't know how to read this book, which is, okay, there's an issue of salvation we're talking about. But remember, Paul says circumcision, non-circumcision, doesn't matter. It's regeneration. It's living in Christ. And the Jews in their circumcision can enter into that through Christ, as the Gentiles in their uncircumcision can as well. So we have a circumcision issue of salvation on the one hand, but a circumcision issue of ministry. How do you relate to people? What stumbling blocks you're putting in front of the people you're going to go try to present the gospel to and minister to? And Paul sees this very clearly. So we see his priorities. On the one hand is gospel clarity. What is the good news? Jesus Christ saved sinners by his death and his resurrection and enthronement and pouring out his Spirit upon us and all that. That's the gospel, the message of Christ coming to sinners. What about ministry? We got to minister that to people. Paul's called an apostle, called to be an apostle, as to minister to the people, and doesn't want to put stumbling blocks in their way. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll be getting to 1 Corinthians pretty quickly. But there's a passage here that is meat to our consideration. Verses 19 and following. So you're going to look at Paul's gospel ministry. How he goes about ministering the gospel to a wide variety of people. Paul says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win, in order that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. And to those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are on the outside. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in it, that I may share with them in its blessings." But Paul's been given this gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, and he wants to deal with people, meet them where they're at, and kind of be like they're at, so he can get it across to them. So he's not worried about being particularly Jewish, except when he's around people who are worried about being particularly Jewish. Right? So he can pull that off. He's not worried about being free and living like a Gentile, but he'll do that when he's ministering to Gentiles. That's exactly what's going on with Timothy. He knows he's going to be going to ministering to Jews. Circumcision to them is important. Therefore, Timothy should be circumcised for the sake of the gospel ministry, not because it's part of the gospel, you see. Right? So the ministry of the gospel is the pristine message of Jesus Christ, ministered in all sorts of strange ways to all sorts of strange people, as we read there in Paul. So this is Paul planning. Right? We have this paroxysm, this like eruption, this great division in Antioch. But then as he goes, he's making plans. He's trying to figure out what's next. Right? He's trying to look ahead and see what God has for him and then act accordingly. Make plans and get after doing those. And that's the same for us. Make the plan, work the plan. We have to do that in Christ. We can't say, well, God's sovereign, therefore I can just la-di-da. I don't need to make any plans. That's not how the Scripture ever tells us. Scripture often tells us we need to plan, we need to be wise, we need to be faithful in this way, and that the Lord will bless that. So there is a necessity of a Christian doing there. I think of Proverbs 16, where it says something along the lines of men propose in their mind what they want to do, but the Lord directs the feet. Right? We have ideas. We're after something, and I want you to be after something, especially you younger folks. I want you to have something in view you're after, you're driving for the Lord, to build the kingdom by whatever God's gifted you to do. So make your plans and set those plans, but you have to have open hands with those plans, because the Lord won't necessarily go the direction that you think you're going. But I think you'll find in retrospect that the Lord's ways, of course, are wise, and He leads us in that kind of wisdom. All right, so now for the peregrination, the walking around, the wandering of Paul and Silas and Timothy. Get back to Acts chapter 16 here. Okay, looking at verse 4. And they went on their way through the cities. They delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers. And they went into the region of Phrygia and Galatia. So now they're up in Anatolia, is what you call the whole area, or maybe Turkey today, thinking about that large body of land there below the Black Sea. They went up to Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing through Mysia, they went down to Troas. So here we have just a couple verses. Paul's movement from Antioch, where he left from this, you know, where the congregation commended him, all the way up here to Mysia and by Troas, looking at moving into the European continent as we think about it now. That's probably more. It's hard to know what he's doing, and because we have the issue of the Holy Spirit saying, nope, not this way. Paul saying, hey, over here. The Holy Spirit saying, nope, not that way either. Right? So getting directed around in this kind of strange way by the Holy Spirit, probably for over 700 miles. 700 miles of wandering in Anatolia, that's a lot of travel. And at the same time, it seems like it's a lot of closed doors. That seems like what the theme is here, the Spirit of God saying, nope, not yet. Now, think about that, because the Spirit said, nope, you're not going into Asia, which is the kind of the western edge, which a place like Ephesus would be there. Now, did Paul ever make it to Ephesus? Yeah. He spent a year and a half there later on, or he will spend a year and a half there later on, but not now. The Holy Spirit says not now. Right? So think about that even in our own lives. Sometimes we take a closed door by the providence of God and say, oh, I guess that's just off. But maybe it's not just off forever. Maybe it's just off right now. Maybe there are other things that the Spirit of God wants you to work on and focus on before you get to the thing maybe you have in view. And it certainly seems like that's the case with the Apostle Paul. Not now, says the Spirit of Jesus. This image of wandering should make one think of the Jews wandering in the desert. Right? God's leading them around. They don't know where they know where they're going eventually, the promised land. But along the way, for 40 years, they do not know. And what do they get to follow? Fire, right? And the pillar of smoke. We have the Holy Spirit leading, and those in that image, the people of God around in the desert, even as the Spirit of Jesus Christ is leading Paul and Silas and Timothy, and probably Luke, since it's a we section here, Luke's probably included in this group, and others, this kind of entourage around Paul. They don't know where they're going. They're just going to serve the Lord. And they're planning, right? Remember, Paul's back there planning, trying to figure things out. The planning doesn't seem to work, right? What he's trying to do, God closes those doors. And again, not here, we don't know the way the Holy Spirit was leading them. We see there's a vision, like Paul gets a vision from the man in Macedonia and takes that to be the call of God and he's off. But until that time, it's like, okay, well, where are we going? We keep starting and stopping. We keep moving this direction and that. And the Spirit of God is guiding them, maybe by sheer providence, or maybe by some more supernatural way. We just don't know. Again, the heart of man plans his steps, but I'm sorry, the heart of man plans his steps, but Yahweh directs them. Life involves confusion. You can see this in the apostles' reality here. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what God's going to have them to do. They're all prepared. They're all planned up. But God's not using that the way they think that he should be, or at least the way they anticipated him to be using it. Sounds like a good piece of confusion. Do you guys know anything about that? Life is full of confusion. We don't know where we're going. I mean, if we really sit back and think in our own minds about how well we plan and what's going on in our lives, we're at the mercy of God all the time. In our confusion, God is not confused. We are confused. And that's okay. Sometimes it's all right to exist in confusion. We don't run the universe. God does. And he is not confused. He has plans for each of us that he's decreed from before time began. He's planned this thing all the way down to the details. It's our job to kind of figure it out. To walk in the Spirit, to be open, to make those plans that we have, but to be open to God when those plans change. You know, go from remodeling and things that are going on just in our lives, but just even as the gospel goes forward. Think of that with, say, PMU, Presbyterian Missionary Union, where we make lots of plans. We sit around, we plan things out for these missionaries and try and pull them together. Think Doug Lehman, for a good example, where he has a mission to go down there to work on teaching biblical counseling, and it doesn't turn out that way. After a year or two, it's shifted into a different thing. We have to be open to what God's doing. And that's a bit of walking in the Spirit, trusting God, being okay with a little bit of confusion. Some of you people out there are like, no, I got to tie everything together and know what's going on. I don't have that problem. I'm on the other side of things. I don't need to know. I really don't. It doesn't bother me. Kind of wielding in confusion sometimes. But I can imagine for some people how it does. In any event, we all deal with confusion. We all deal with the paroxysm. We deal with our sins. We deal with providence as it comes to us. And we're just people. We don't have everything on the ball. But God does. And that's our resting. That's our trusting. We can rest in the providence of God and trust him to guide us in our lives. How do we seek the Spirit of God? We want the Spirit of God to lead us like the Spirit of God was leading Paul. Right? Okay, God, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And oftentimes it doesn't work just like that. But here are three ways to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. The first is to seek guidance by the Word. Prayerfully search the Scriptures. If you're in your life planning, thinking, trying to figure out what's next, or what's 3 steps down the road, or what's 10 years down the road, which is, or 50 years, or whatever, you're planning. Plan. Seek the guidance of the Spirit of God through searching the Scriptures. You might say, well, Pastor, the Scriptures don't say anything about me specifically in this situation. Okay, right, I've read them and you're right, it's not in there. But that's how God gives us wisdom, is through his Word, by the operation of the Spirit through the Word. So go to the Word. You have decisions to make, you're figuring stuff out. Open the Word, search the Scriptures prayerfully. also use the body of Christ. Prayerfully work things through with Christians that are around you. Take their wisdom. Take their insight and let that be a help to you. We're not islands as Christians. We're bone of each other's bone and flesh of each other's flesh because we're united to Christ. And He's given gifts, and so we should prayerfully use those gifts one with another, counseling with each other. Finally, seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your own life, in your own prayer life, in your own heart. Wrestle with the Lord. Call Him out. Ask Him for direction. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to give you what you need to make the plans you need to make to move forward. So we can seek guidance through the Word by the Spirit, prayerfully in the midst of the body and counsel, and also just in our own hearts as we wrestle with God and seek His face and seek His guidance in our lives. So by way of conclusion, our sins and our foibles are real. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't royally screw things up. It doesn't mean that we don't grievously sin. But Christian, we have a Savior. We need to turn from that sin. God gives us the light and be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man. Right? Take off that sin and figure out what's going on so you can do what God calls you to do better. Not sinning, but living in righteousness in the same way. Right? It's not like you just stop sinning. Say, for instance, you know, you really have a hard time being patient with the kids. That's kind of close to my heart. Okay, well, I should figure out how to put off the old man, what the scriptures say, and how to do that better. How God calls me to actually be a faithful parent without that kind of sin. Okay, it's not like I just stop doing this over here and go do something else entirely. A thief is supposed to stop stealing, be renewed in the spirit of his mind, and work with his hands so he has something to give to people in need. Right? It's a like kind of righteousness. We put off the sin and put on the like kind of righteousness. And so think about that. As you think about Paul's paroxysm and think about this eruption he has with Barnabas right in front of the whole church and affecting the whole church, it's a tough one. But I'm certain Paul learned from that and proceeded in his life to grow even out of that sin by God's grace. Confess and rest in Christ. Jesus Christ saves you from your sins. May His name be praised. We trust Him and rest in Him to cover all of our sins. And then our best laid plans, whether mice, men, whatever. We lay our plans. We do our work. But God's in control of our lives. It's okay to be in a little bit of confusion and not know what's going on. We don't want that confusion, but we can live in it while God helps us sort out and God lays before us what we're doing. So trust Christ to redeem us from our sins and trust the Spirit of Christ to guide us in our living. Waiting upon God, struggling with Him, seeking Him so that we should know how to live here as Christians now. And in our lives, resting and trusting and working. Resting in Christ, trusting Christ, and working for Him. Even as we see the Apostle Paul doing here with Silas and Timothy, forging ahead in confusion. And God, as we'll see next week, Lord willing, gives him a call. Gives him that clarity he's looking for. But until then, he doesn't have it. He's struggling, even as we struggle. So congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us struggle together. Let us love each other and help each other. All the while, resting and trusting in Christ and working together. Amen.